Today's shir is for Zchus, for Shalom and Bracha, for Refuah Shleima. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Kuf Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis at the bottom at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Paisik Maos L'Chasonai, if somebody had pledged a certain amount of money for his son-in-law as the Dunya, Upashalai as a regal, and then, unfortunately, the Kala's father went bankrupt, and he says he doesn't have the ability to pay his obligation. The way the Rishonim explain, he says, take what pshat poshel as regel. How does that mean going bankrupt? It's like saying, take the dirt off my shoe. That means I don't, it's a way of saying, I can't keep my obligation. I don't even have shoes to walk on. I have nothing left. Another pshat that he says is that you could run after me. That's what you do with shoes. People run after with my shoes, but I don't have anything. You could run. I don't have anything to give you. Tosfos explains, quoting the Yerushalmi, that the subject of our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the girl was there when he promised this money. So again, and he says a pashta is regal. He lost his money. That another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that I have no intention to fulfill my obligation. Says the Mishnah, Teshev Achatal Ben Reishai. The halacha is that she has to remain. She remains an aguna. The husband is not obligated to marry her if her father doesn't keep his side of the deal. It says the Ramah and Ebenezer Siman Nun Beis Sif Aleph that's only the case if they did not have Nesuin. But once this couple has Nesuin, a husband has no right ever, once he did Nesuin with his wife, to mistreat his wife because he did not get what he was promised to. The Rashbam says that what he could do, it's a case where he can't force the father and the Torah to give what he promised. The only thing that he could do is make her wait. And the question is, why? Why don't we, if the father made a promise, and not only that, the way the Rishonim point out, a Gemara that we've learned previously, that hein hein dvarim niktavim mira, when a chassan and a kala, when the two sides promise to give, these are very strong obligations. So why over here can the chassan not just take the kala's father to a din Torah? So he said. So the Rishonim answer that even though the halach is that there is no kinyan required, that's only under certain circumstances. But in certain circumstances, a kinyan would be required. And since the kinyan is required, that's why if there was no kinyan, he could not prevail in the din Torah. And the only option he has is Shteshev Achet Talmud Roshah. Because Tosfos explains, the only time, explains Tosfos, a kinyan is not required, is if immediately after the discussion between the two sides, they did the kedushin. So that's the case where hein hein dvarim niknim b'amira, that they don't need to have a kinyan. But if the kedushin was not made immediately after the discussion, then a kinyan is required. And if the kinyan wasn't there, he could not prevail in the entire. And that's why teisha atab and roshay. But there's a different pshat that Tosfos suggests. Tosfos says that indeed, he could take him to the Torah. But what the Mishnah is saying, very sharply, is that there's no need to take him to the Torah. What could be happening over here is, Teshev Atal Ben Roshay. He could do something which is much more powerful than the Torah. The girl sitting, waiting, until Achat Atal Ben Roshay, until she gets married, is much more powerful. And that's what the Mishnah gives as an option. Admin Oimer, Admin disagrees. And Yecholi Shetoimer, the girl could say, Ila nipsakti latzmi, had I undertaken this obligation, and I don't keep my word, that's when I deserve teishav asher tal meroish, I should sit and wait. Achshav, but now I wasn't the one that undertook this obligation. Abba posak, it was my father that undertook this obligation. Mani yechayel lasis, what should I do? And therefore she says to him, you don't want to marry me? Don't marry me. I can either marry me or ptar, or let me go. Give me a get. Amar, but don't leave me in the status of limbo. Amar Rav Gamliel, Royani is the very admin. I agree with admin. The Tveris Yisrael points out that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where the dowry that was promised was beyond the means of the people who promised it. That's when there's an option of a shtal b'roishay. But he says if in a case where it was promised in good faith, and then unfortunately something terrible happened that they did not have the financial ability to pay off what they obliged, that they promised, in such a case, says the Tveris Yaakov, nobody would suggest teishav shetal ben roishay. Either marry her, or give her a get. That flaw says that the chosen could delay the nesuin only if it was promised him prior to kedushin. But if the amount that was promised to him was given after the kedushin, even if there was no nesuin yet, but there was already kedushin, says that flaw. Doesn't seem to be shot like that in the Mishnah. He has to go ahead, either marry her or divorce her. The Ramah quotes Dorchas Chaim. He says that even in a case where the chosin is legally justified in saying, I want the nedunya, and it's improper to do so, he says that any chosin who quarrels with the Kalis family over his dowry will not be successful in life and will not have a successful marriage. He says money, which is forced out of a father-in-law, is considered illegitimate funds. And therefore, he says, a chosin should not make an issue over the money, but should marry the woman and cheerfully accept whatever is offered. In the time, as we just learned, in the time of Chazal, if the dunya was not paid, the chosin had a number of options. He can marry another woman while making her, this one wait, or he could give her a get. However, Bizman Azeh, the option for the chosin to marry another woman is obviously not there because we live in the time of the Cherem Ben Regeshim. And therefore, those Achronim suggest that everything changes Bizman Azeh. However, there is an interesting approach from the Tif Kedushin. He says that if there's such a case, I would imagine, especially if the Kala side promised money, which they knew they didn't have, so that the Tif Kedusha wants to suggest that even though we know the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom disallows a divorce that's done under duress, you can't give a woman a get bizman hazeh bal korcho. He wants to suggest that in this case, the get could be given bal korcho. If the husband was misled, he could give her a get even without her consent. Says the Gemara Masnitzot Lo Kaitana, our Mishnah is not consistent with the following opinion. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Lo Chachamim Al Poisik Mos Lachasnoi Posh Lo Yisaregel. In a case where money was promised and he went bankrupt, that the girl could say, Abba Posikalai, my father promised us money, and he doesn't have the ability to pay it. Ma ani yicholalasis, what is expected to me? And she could say, don't leave me in this status. Aman nechalku, where do we have the machloikus? Al sheposke hi alatzma, where she promised the money, not her father. Cham aimrim, if she promised and she doesn't deliver, let her have to wait. The reason I promised this money was because I was certain that my father will give the amount that I promised. And now my expectations did not come true, and what I expected my father to give, he's not giving. Ma ani yichayla lasis. What do you expect of me? And she could say to me, under those circumstances, says Adman, oy knois oy ptar. Either marry me or give me a get. Amar Rav Gamliel, to which Rav Gamliel comments, roy ani yistivri Adman, I agree with Adman's position. Tana, says the Gemara, b'medva mamurim, where did the Chacham say that the Chacham could leave the Kala, Teshiv, Achatal ben Roisha, the Gedoyla? When a girl is a Gedoyla, and the girl made an obligated herself, and she could be held responsible for her obligation. Abba Ketana, where the girl's a Ketana, Koifin, there we force. Ask them, what does Koifin mean? Koifin Laman, exactly whom do we force? Ilema, if we're going to say we force the father, then it should have said just the opposite. That by a gdoila, who made a tanai, and the tanai has value because she's a gdoila, that's where we should force the father. By a ktana, whose words don't really mean anything, why should we force? Elama Rava, it says Rava, the b'raisa means to say that when the girl's a ktana and they're not keeping their word about the Nadonya, Kaifan Ba'alitan Laget. They force the husband to divorce her or marry her, and he can't demand that the condition be kept. Why can't he demand the condition be met? Because the condition was made by a Ketana, and a condition that was made by a Ketana, he should recognize is not really very strong. And therefore, if they can't keep that condition, he has to either divorce her or marry her, but he can't leave her in limbo. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechezkiah, Kamakam Shamar Gamliel, Roy Ani Yistivri Adman, wherever we have Rav Gamliel making a statement, Roy Ani Yistivri Adman, Halacha Kamaisai, that is the Halacha. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman, so Rava asked Rav Nachman, that is that mean in these Mishnayis that we've been learning Machloikos of the Chachamim and Admaim, and we've been learning statements of Rav Gamliel, Roy Ani Yistivri Adman. Is that where you meant this? Or Afil Bebraisa, where in the case that we just started in our shir, where the Braisa spoke about a case where the Kala made the obligation, and Rav Gamliel said there too, Roy Ani Yistivri Adman, is that also a case that since Rav Gamliel said Roy Ani Yistivri Adman, then the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in that case as well, even though it's not a discussion in a Mishnah, it's a discussion in a Braisa. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, Mikam Rinim B'Mishnah, did I, when I said that we always follow the opinion of Gamliel, add that we always follow the opinion of Gamliel in a Mishnah? I made a blanket statement. The Kol Mokam Sha'amar Gamliel, wherever Gamliel issues a comment, Kamrinan, we follow as a comment, whether he made that comment in a Mishnah or he made that comment in a Braisa. Amar Rab Zeru, Amar Rab Abar Yimya, Shnei Dvarim Amachanan. Two things that Chanan say, and their Chomim disagreed with Chanan, and Rab Yochim and Zakai Paskin Lechanan Halacha Kiyotz Behem. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan and Zakai. Shidvarm Shama Admoin. There are seven places that we have Admoin disagreeing with the Chachamim. And Halacha Kiyotz Behem. The halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel that always Paskins like Admoin. In other words, it seems that Rabbi Zera is disagreeing with Chizkiah. Chizkiah says that whenever a Gamliel says that the halacha is like Admoin, that indeed is the halacha. And Rav Zeir is saying that just because Rav Gamliel says the halacha is like Admoin, that doesn't mean that the halacha is like Admoin. Says the Gemara, my Kamar, but not a Gemara, drills down and says, what exactly is being discussed here? Ilay Machi Kamar, if we'll say that this is what Rav Zeir said, Shnei Dvarim Amachaman, the two halachas that Chanan said, halacha k'maisa k'yotzboi, the halachas like Chanan and like Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, who paskins like Chanan, shivat varm shama admin, whereas the seven halachas that Amin said, ain halacha k'maisa, the halacha doesn't follow admin, v'loi k'yotzboi, and not like Rav Gamliel, who paskins like Admon. Ask the Gemara, how could you say so? So the Gemara says it's difficult to say that Reb Zeira is disagreeing with Chizkiya. And of course, even though technically they could argue, Reb Zeira and Chizkiya were both Amoraim, but the Rishonim explained that Chizkiya was one of the earliest Amoraim, and Chizkiya was the son of Reb Chiya, who was a Talmud of Rebbe. And Chizkiya was in his own right, was a very great individual. And therefore, it's difficult to assume that Reb Zeira would disagree with Chizkiya. Elach Kama, says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Shnei Dvarim Shem Chanan, the two halachas that Chanan said, halach k'may sabay, the halacha is like Chanan, uke yoitz bayler k'm yoichim and zakai, who agrees with Chanan. Shivat Varm Shama Admon and Allah Kyotsboy, the Locha is not like Admon, because only in the three of the seven halachos that Admon say, the Reb Gamliel agree with Admon. Hakamaisoi, where Reb Gamliel paskins like Admon, halacha bekuloi. Vamar Yitzvagan Lozum, Shemet Chiski, Kama Shab Gamliel, Yuan is the Radna Loch Kamaisoi. Amar in, so it seems that only where Reb Gamliel said so, Loy Amaloi. That we don't always follow up Admon's opinion, we follow Reb Gamliel's opinion. Wherever Reb Gamliel comments the Ryan is the Admon, that's where we're going to paskin like Admon. Anywhere else, inach loy, anywhere else we won't. But otherwise, we won't, just because Reb Gamliel said Royan is every Admon, doesn't mean, it only means where he says it. It doesn't mean, Chizkiya did not mean to say that we always follow the opinion of Admon. Chizkiya meant to say we only follow the opinion of Admon where Reb Gamliel concurs with Admon. Hayra al Sada. If somebody comes and says that the field that you're on is a field that was stolen from me, and you bought it from the person who stole it from me. V'hu chosam ala be'ed. The person who claims that the field belongs to me is one of the people who signed on that document of sale where the person who I'm making a claim to bought it. Admon Omer, Admon says, that just because I'm signed on this document doesn't mean that I agreed that the field didn't belong to me. Because I say, Hasheni Noyachli Rishin Kashimenu. I could say I deliberately signed on this document. Why did I deliberately sign on this document? Because I knew that I want to get back my field. And the first person, which means the person who had stolen the field from me, was a person who was very difficult for me to have a dentire with. And therefore, I deliberately signed on the document. By signing on the document, what I accomplish is that now I'll have to have a dentire with you, the buyer, who are an easier person for me to have a dentire with than with the person who stole it. The Chum disagree. The Chum say, even as Chusai, the fact that I signed on this document that indicates that it's being sold is an indication that I'm admitting that I have no claim to this field. And therefore, by having signed, I gave up any rights. Also Simon Lacher. But now, the person used this field as a border to show which field is being sold. And he said that, let's say, they're writing in a Shtar Mechira, that the west side borders on this field that I own, then Ibn Eschusai. That means if I own a field and you sign as a witness when I buy another field and I put up and I say the field that you're claiming is yours is my field and is the west side border, in that case, he can't say, well, I would prefer to have it entire with you than with someone else. Why did you sign the document that clearly indicates the field belongs to me, when you believe the field doesn't belong to me. And here you can't say, well, I'd rather have it in Torah with you, and that's why I'd like to sign with you than sign with the other person. Where does that have to do with this shtar? And therefore, by you having signed that shtar, it's an indication that you admit that the field belongs to me. That's the way Rashi explains this Gemara, and that's where we're going to learn this case of the Mishnah. The Rambam has a different way of explaining. If this person who has a claim on the field was buying or selling a field, and he wrote in that document that he's selling a field, this other field, as a simon, and he admits that it belongs to someone else, so then why did you write something that you know is not true? You know that you don't believe that field belongs to me. And by saying in the shtar that it is mine, that's clearly an admission that you admit that it belongs to me and not to you. Says the Gemara, but we've go back to the first case. When is a signature an admission or not? Amar Abaye, loy shanu ela aid. Somebody is signed as a witness, that may be an admission. Aval dayin, if somebody was a dayin who certified the shtar, we go back to the beginning of our Masechta, where we discussed quite extensively the halachas of kiyum shtaris, and the fact that somebody, they used to certify the shtar, dayonim used to certify the shtar, says the Gemara, kiyum, the dayin who signs a shtar, lo yibetz chusay, because all he's testifying is on the witnesses that are signed, that their signatures are correct. It has nothing to do with the actual shtar. The Tanar of Chia, Ein Eidim Chosim El Shtar, Eidim don't sign a shtar, Elam Kein Kuro, unless they read the shtar. And therefore they can't say, well, we didn't recognize what we signed to. Ava Dayonim, Dayonim sign, even if they don't read the shtar itself, the contents of the shtar. Because as we just explained, their purpose is just to verify the signatures. And to verify the signatures, you have to go through the procedures that we discussed of verification of the signatures, but it doesn't require that you should know, the dayan should have any relationship to what it says in the shtar. We know that the minig is, by weddings, that one of the kibudim is Kriyas Ksuba. And the question is, why is there Kriyas Ksuba? So one reason that's given is because in the time of Chazal, as we learned so many times in our Masechta, the Kedushin and the Suin were not done at the same time. And since the Kedushin and the Suin were not done at the same time, we had Kedushin and then we had the Suin, as we learned typically a year later. Bizman Azeh, we know Kedushin and the Suin are done at the same time. But in order to have a Hefsik, that the Kedushin and the Suin should not be done immediately or simultaneously, we separate the Kedushin and the Erisin and then the Suin with Kriyas Ksuba. But another reason is based on what we learned in our Gemara now. Because the halacha is, Ein Eidim Chosim al Shtar, Elam Kein Kuro. Eidim are not supposed to sign on a shtar until they read the shtar. And since, unfortunately, say the Poskim, most Eidim do not really pay attention when they sign on the Ksuba, what it says on the Ksuba, what it says in the Ksuba. So therefore, how do we accomplish that the Eidim should know what it says in the Ksuba? They stand and they hear the Kriyas Ksuba. By hearing the Kriyas Ksuba, that's how they are able to know what it says on the Ksuba. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshev says in the Sefer, the minig in certain places is that the Eidim Ksuba only sign on the Ksuba under the Chuppah. And the explanation for that minig is very well understood. Because the reason we have the Kriyas Ksuba we just explained, is in order for the Eidim to know what is said in the Ksuba. But if they're going to sign the ksuba before the kriyas ksuba, and as we're saying, we're concerned they're not really paying attention to what it says in the ksuba, we really haven't accomplished anything. And therefore, the halacha is that they should sign the ksuba. The halacha is they should read the ksuba under the chuppah and then sign it under the chuppah. But we know that in most places, the minig is that the edim sign the ksuba before the kriyas ksuba. So Rabbi Yashiv suggests, if that's what you're going to do, the right thing to do, says Rabbi Yashiv, is if you're going to be an eid ksuba, make sure to read the ksuba and see what you're signing. Because as our Gemara just said, Eina Eidim Chosim El Shtar, Eidim should not sign a shtar, Elam Kein Kuro, unless they read it first. But I did see that the Sefer, Ksuba Ba'alokha, has an explanation why we aren't careful with this. He says, in the time of Chazal, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, every ksuba was unique. It was based on whatever arrangement the Chosin side and the Kala side made. And therefore, it was very important for the Edim to read the ksuba and know precisely what it says, to know what they are agreeing to. However, Bizman Hazeh, that even if there are arrangements made, financial arrangements made between the Chosin side and the Kala side, those arrangements are not typically recorded in the ksuba. All the ksubas that are used by all the weddings are the same standard nusach. Since all the ksubas that are used at all the weddings are the same standard nusach, so there we don't have to be careful for the Edom to read it, because it's the same nusach all the time. We learned in the Mishnah, also similacher, but if this person who has a claim in the field was the one that used it as a simon in another fee, in another transaction, that is a proof that I agree that that field belongs to that individual. Omar by Loy Shanu, Elo Lacher. When is that said? When that field was being sold to somebody else. Aval Atzmai, if this field was being sold, if he sold the field to the person who's making a claiming, Loy Ibetz Chusoy. Domar, Loy Avdelay Hachi, because he says, I had to agree. In other words, if I'm buying a property from this person, and this person is using the field on which I have a claim as a simon for the borders of the field that I am buying, then the fact that I signed to that shtar, the fact that I'm a party to that shtar, is not a proof that I give up any claim on the field. Rather, I say, if I was not agreeable to sign the shtar, the way you presented it, you would have never sold it to me. And I'm anxious to buy this piece of property. So what are you saying? The fact that I signed is an indication that I admit? What else could I have done? You say, if I am signing the shtar, even though I know that this is a shtar that I should not have signed, I don't agree to the contents of the shtar. Because when you put into the shtar my field, the field that I say is mine at least, as a border, I wanted to buy it, so I couldn't say anything, but I should have buy the Muslim Madara. I should have made a protest. I should have told Adam that I'm signing this under duress. Says the Gemara, the reason I didn't do it is because, again, if I'm not going to be willing to sign the shtar the way it is, you're not going to sell me this piece of property. And I'm very anxious to buy this piece of property. And the way I sort of was showing him explain why am I so anxious to buy this piece of property, because it's next to a property that I really believe is mine. So I want to have two contiguous pieces of property. I should have made an announcement. I couldn't make an announcement because we know that when we speak to people, it would become public. And then if you would know that I'm making these types of protests, you would never agree to sell the property to me. So I had to remain silent, even though I disagree with what it says in the shtar. Says the Gemara, somebody signed a shtar where they feel that I have a claim on as a simon. And then he raised a protest. Shachav, and then the person who made the protest passed away. Okam apotropa, they bezdin appoint an apotropus for the assignment of this ma'arer. Also apotropus l'kamei d'abaya. So the apotropus came to abaya and brought edim to support the claim that this person made, that was making, but unfortunately passed away. Amale, says the Gemara, so Abaye said to apotropus, but haven't we just learned in our Mishnah, there also similar acher, that if this person had signed another shtar, ibetz chusay, he loses his rights. And that was the case here. Amar, said apotropus to Abaye, yava avun diyas mikayim, if he would have been alive, he could have said, he still could have had the following claim. Hamantan v'amah, tell him echad asisalach. What I signed was not on the entire field. I only agreed on the amount of one row where they plowed. That's the amount that I agreed belongs to the person who says the field is his. But it's my signature is not an indication that I agreed to everything. Amalei, shapakamet. That would, says Abaye to apotropus, that is a wonderful claim. If the person who signed on the shtar, which we're learning in the Mishnah and the Gemara, is an indication that he agrees that that field belongs to him. But he says, when I signed, all I meant to say was that he owed one row in that field. Tell him echad asisalach neman. Zil havle miyas tell him echad. So Abaye says to apotropus, you are in the place of the ma'arur. And yes, you have a very wonderful claim, and you could claim that all he agreed to was one talim. But one talim you should give him, says the Gemara. Talim echad, have Allah richved the. So it says you agree to one talim. But says the Gemara, have Allah, on this talim that he's agreeing to, there was a richved the dikli. There were a bunch of, there was a row of trees. And it was a very, very valuable talim. I'm like, Yav Avandi asked Mikhaim, if the father of these Yisraelim were alive, have a Tanvama, he would now be able to claim, Chazarti will kachti meni. I agreed that it was his, and now I'm saying that I had bought it back. So the way Rashi explains, what he meant to say was, I have a Pesh Asa Pesh Shehitter. That's why he's believed. Amalei, Shabbakamet. Says Abaya, that would be a great claim. The Amar of Yochanan imtan va'amar. If the Ma'arur says that chazarti v'lekachtiv, I bought it back, neman. He would believe because of this peshas peshita. Others says the Gemara, Amar Abaya says Abaya, high man the makam apotropa. Somebody who picks up somebody appoints an apotropa, nokim kahai. This is the type of individual you should appoint as your apotropus. The other lepuche b'schus d'yasmei, he's able to very strongly argue on the favor of the assignment. So the Rishonim ask a question. Throughout Shas, we have a klal that taninan l'yasimim, that Bezdin's responsibility is to do whatever they can and make claims on behalf of the assignment. So the Rishonim ask, here the only reason Abaya allowed the apotropus to win this dentira is because he made these claims on behalf of the Yisoyimim. But ask the Rishonim, we should do it on our own. It shouldn't require the apotropus to make this claim. So the Rishonim explain, yes, there's a rule throughout Shas, Taninan l'Yisoyimim, that we do whatever we can to claim on behalf of the Yisoyimim. But when do we do so? We only do so in a case where the claims are pretty standard claims. So since they're standard claims, we do whatever we can to protect the assignment. The case of our Gemara here, even though they were prevailing claims, they were winning claims, as we just learned in our shir, they're certainly not common claims. And when Bezdin makes claims on behalf of the Yisoyimim, they only make claims that are shchiach, that are common to be happen. Something which is loy shchiach are not claims that the Bezdin make on behalf of the Yisoyimim. Says the Mishnah Mishael Chudeim Sayyam. Somebody went overseas and he had a field, and the field that he owned was surrounded by other properties, and he owned a path through one of those properties to his field. And while he was overseas, of the Derech L'Sadehu, that path is no longer identifiable. Admin Omer, Yelech B'Derech B'Ktzara. Admin says, there's no argument, there's no question that he owns such a path. And therefore, he is entitled to a path. We give him the shortest path how to get to his field. Chum Omer, Yekin Loi Derech B'Mei Mona. Since he can't identify where his path is, he should buy a path. And if he can't, Yifrich Ba'avra, let him fly to his field. We can't help him. Says the Mamai Tamad Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan? Shapa Kama Admin. Isn't Admin saying something that makes a lot of sense? I certainly had a path here. I can't now identify which is my path, but I should at least get something. That there are four people that have fields around me. And every person that I go to say, give me a path, says, your path wasn't with me. Your path was with the other person. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, so then on the other hand, so how do we understand Admin's opinion? Why should one person have to give up more than anybody else? Says the Gemara, Amarava. Arba de Osma Kayach Arba, if there are four people that own the four fields around my field, who have bought the four fields for four different people, or Arba de Osma Kayach Achad, if there are four people that own the fields around my field, but they all belong, but he sold them now to four, originally all those fields belonged to one person, but now he sold them to four separate people. In that case, each one of these four people could say to me, you're not the person that I have, you're not the one, you don't have a right in my field, go to the next person. Everybody could push him to the next guy. Keep pligi, where all four fields around my field are owned by one individual. So this one individual certainly has in his property my path. Just we don't know which field is it, which path it is. Admin Sover, Admin holds, that I could claim, come makayim, dark islikabach. You own all four fields around my field. So I certainly have a path in your property, and we have to settle this. Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan says, yes, there's only one person who's surrounding my field. But he could say to me, Ishaskas, shaskas, if you'll remain silent, wonderful. Viloi, and if you're not going to remain silent, what I could do is, Madrinishtar lemarayu, I will undo this entire sale. And by undoing this entire sale, you're going to have now four people around. And since there's going to be four people around, that's going to be a case that you can't win, as we just said. Because we just learned when you have four neighbors, each one of the neighbors are going to push you to the next one. And that's why the halacha is you lose, you won't, Admin says that you can't win this entire. Says the Mahud Amalu Dikla Brass. In the case where and that's Pshat and the Chachamim. That's why Chachamim say, I have to buy a path. I have no way of winning this entire. Hudamalai Diklabras. Somebody said to his children before he passed away, give this tree to my daughter. My daughter should get a tree. And the rest of Yerusha, you'll divide amongst yourself. Also, Yasin, Pagla, Nachsi. The Yisayman went, they divided up the estate. V'loyavla Dikla. And they didn't give the daughter the tree as the father had instructed. Sovereign of Yosef Meima, Hanim Asnissen, that this is the case of our Mishnah, because the daughter doesn't know which brother to go after, because each brother says go to the other brother. Amal Abaya, to which Abaya says the cases are not similar. Midami, Chosam, in the case where there are four neighbors around the field, as we have been discussing, Kol Chad V'Chad Motzim Matchali, every neighbor says go to the other one. Hocha Dikl Gabayahu, this tree was in the estate. And therefore, since the tree was in the state, her claim is a very strong claim. Maitakantayu. So what is the Eitzah? Lifud Ladikla, give her, if one of the brothers will agree to give her a Dekel, and the other brothers should compensate and reimburse him, fine. And if none of the brothers are willing to do so, Lahadra Lifud Maresha, we'll start everything from scratch, and we'll take a Dekel and give it to her, and then the brothers should divide the Yerusha. Ha'ud Amalu, Dikla Bras, again, a situation where a father said, a Dikla should be given to my daughter. Shachiv, and he passed away. Vishavik, and he left over many trees, and he also left over Trey Pagla Dikla, two half Dekel trees. Yasser Rav Rashi Kakashli. Rav Rashi wanted to know, Mikari Inshila Trey Pagla Dikla Dikla, if somebody receives two half Dekel trees, is it considered as if he received a Dekel tree? Oiloi. Or it's not considered that he received a Dekel tree. Two half Dekel trees are not considered a whole Dekel tree, which is what the father had instructed the daughter should receive. Amalei Ramatcha Ravashi, Hocha Amavim Magruni Mishmei Durava, Kari Inshila Play Dagla Dikla Dikla. There are people who call two half Dekel trees Dekel. And even though she could make an argument that that's certainly not what my father meant. And my father, when he gave me a Dekel tree, certainly meant to give me a whole Dekel tree, not two half Dekel trees. The halacha is that she is in the weaker position. Since she can't definitively prove what the father had or had not meant to give her, and there are people that call two half Dekel trees a Dekel tree, the brothers could take that position, and she's going to have to accept that as the fulfillment of the father's tzavah.